Good morning, friends. As I mentioned to you a couple of weeks ago, we're going to do some fun things, kind of mix it up a little bit during the summer and try little different themes. And so a couple of weeks ago, our theme was around gratitude. And last week, our theme was around... See, I can tell who went. Who came and were part of our service worship on last week, and it was a great, it was really wonderfully fun to gather with folks and go out and serve the community last week. So last week's our theme was service. This week is sort of a hymn Sunday, but the emphasis isn't just on singing the hymns that we all know really well. That would be a fun Sunday, but we're going to do something a little different today. Today, the theme is around hymns and the backstory of those hymns. Because one of the things we're really aware of is that there continues to be a long debate about whether or, you know, yes or no to hymns, yes or no to praise songs. But the truth of the matter is, these songs were all written by people with a profound heart for God, and they came out of a context, they came out of a story. And so, I had a really fun time with Bob and Gary sitting down and just talking about some different hymns and songs that have touched us in a really deep way. And as we began to understand the backstory of that song, who wrote it, why they wrote it, what their life was like, what was motivating them at the time, that all begins to open up my heart and our imaginations to being able to praise and worship God with a greater understanding and a greater longing to connect with what's being sung and to have that form our hearts. Music is an important part of our lives, amen? And it's an important part of our lives because so much of the music of our lives actually forms our souls. It forms our imaginations. And we wanted to kind of bring more to that this morning through our hymn sing. So the way this is going to work is we've got a wonderful selection of hymns that we're going to sing together. Before we begin each one, we're going to offer a little bit of a backstory so that you have a frame of reference that'll help inform you as you sing. Make sense? Okay. Would you please stand and join me in our call to worship? Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever.
Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story, those he redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands.
Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love and for his wonderful works. He satisfies the thirsty, and the hungry he fills with good things.
Let those who are wise give heed to these things. And consider the steadfast love of the Lord.
Amen. So our first hymn this morning is entitled, Praise My Soul, King of Heaven. And it's really popular with, it's a popular hymn that has been sung at some really important functions of state. For instance, George H.W. Bush's memorial service. This was sung, the wedding of Elizabeth and Philip. This has been a song that seems to capture the largeness and the grandeur of God and pulls people toward that. The author of Praise My Soul, King of Heaven was Henry Francis Light, born in 1793 and died in 1847, and it's based on Psalm 103. Light was born in Scotland and educated in Trinity College, Dublin. And his most significant appointment was as a curate in Devonshire, England, where he served for 24 years. He was known as a man frail in body, but strong in faith and spirit, suffering from chronic asthma and tuberculosis. He retired from his parish in September of 1847. He actually passed away traveling from England to Italy in order to get to a better climate. And he actually didn't even make it to Italy. He passed away in Nice, France. And so I think about this man described as frail in body but strong in faith and spirit. And I think about the way in which he is expressing truth about God that he may not have actually felt in his body, felt in himself, but wanted to affirm and live as true nevertheless. The first stanza reads, Praise my soul, the King of Heaven, to his feet, thy tribute bring, ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven, Who like thee his praise should sing? Praise him, praise him, praise the everlasting King. So join us now as we praise him, the everlasting King.
Praise my soul, the King of heaven, to his feet thy tribute bring. Ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven, who like me his praises sing.
Many sang that hymn for the first time. That kind of looked like it. Okay, good. All right. So anyway, well, we're learning something today. So the next song is a song that was played for the offertory when the king's brass played for us. How many heard the king's brass? Oh, great. It was just such a great concert, and it just kind of said to me, we need to do this. So I'll give you the backstory of the composer and of the hymn. The writer of the hymn, Wonderful Grace of Jesus, Halder Lillenus. Can we all say that together? Halder Lillenus. Okay. Was born in Norway in 1885 and immigrated to the United States when he was a small child. Converted to Christianity at the age of 21, he entered Dietz Pacific Bible College in Los Angeles, California, later known as Pasadena College, and is now known as Point Loma Nazarene University. He later became a pastor in the Church of the Nazarene. He obtained his musical training through personal and correspondence study. He and his wife, Bertha, worked as evangelists for a time traveling the country. Later, he settled down in Illinois and bought a used organ for $5. You can imagine the condition of that organ. They didn't have much money at the time. He composed a number of songs on that organ, which included Wonderful Grace of Jesus. Later, he sold the copyright to the song in 1918 for $5. You guessed it. You got it right. The same amount as he had paid for the organ. In 1924, he founded Lillenus Publishing Company, which later became known as Nazarene Publishing Company. When I was in seminary in Kansas City, Missouri, I went to Nazarene Theological Seminary. Both Rebecca and I grew up in the Nazarene Church. And we had the privilege of singing in a choir that recorded every week called Showers of Blessing Choir. Have everybody heard the hymn, the gospel hymn, Showers of Blessing? Well, that's okay. Brenda has. I figured from Texas she would have heard it. Okay. Anyway, but we also had the privilege of recording demos for the Nazarene Publishing House. This is back in the late 60s, and we would come in on a Saturday, and if they had new music they wanted choir directors to listen to, we record it, and it would be put on a record and sent out to various churches so they can listen to it and hopefully buy the music to it. So anyway, that's our little bit of background with the Nazarene Church and Nazarene Publishing Company. Halder worked there for 20 years as editor. Unlike many other hymn composers, he was prolific. Together, he and his wife wrote over 4,000 hymns. Halder passed away on August 18, 1959, in Aspen, Colorado. He was inducted into the Gospel Music Hall of Fame in 1982. Of over 4,000 hymns that Halder wrote, Wonderful Grace of Jesus is his most famous hymn. The hymn teaches us about the grace of Jesus. It is wonderful, it's deeper, it's higher, all-sufficient, broader, greater than all my sin and shame, for it is the wonderful grace of Jesus which reaches down to me. Now, some of you may not know it, so we're going to start with the chorus. There are probably plenty that do know it, but we'll find out. We'll kind of start slowly, and then we're going to build and build. And then you're going to want to stand here pretty soon, and we're going to move on, okay? Wonderful, the matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea, higher than a mountain, sparkling like a fountain, all-sufficient grace for even me. There's a bass part to it. Broader than the scope of my transgression. Sing it. Greater than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus. Praise his name. Stand with me as we sing.
Wonderful grace of Jesus, greater than all my sin. How shall my tongue describe it? Where shall its praise begin? Taking away my burden, setting my spirit free. For the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. Wonderful, the matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea, higher than a mountain, sparkling like a fountain, all sufficient grace for even me. Broader than the scope of my transgression, sing it, greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, the precious name of Jesus, praise his name. Wonderful grace of Jesus, reaching to all the lost. By it I have been pardoned, saved to the uttermost. Chains have been torn asunder, for the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. Wonderful, the matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea, higher than a mountain, sparkling like a fountain, all-sufficient grace for even me. Than the soap of my transgression, sing it, greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus, praise.
seated.
Amen. How many of you have sung that before? Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Especially if you get a ton of people in one room who know all the parts. It's wonderful. It's an amazing experience. So if you had to describe yourself, could you do it adequately with words? It'd be tough, right? We're complicated people, right? Well, how do you describe the infinite God in finite language? We use words like omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient, and infinite, but even these are wholly inadequate to describe the power and majesty of the Almighty. In 2002, Laura Story, once an aspiring symphony conductor, can you believe that? And a former Young Life leader, now contemporary Christian singer-songwriter, was recording her first independent album and needed one last song to complete it. She knew she had to come up with one, and she trusted that God would provide the inspiration for that last song, but as yet she did not have anything that she thought would work. A few days later, she was driving down a mountain road. Her eyes were fixed on the majesty of creation when she spontaneously started worshiping and singing, "Indescribable, uncontainable. You placed the stars in the sky and you know them by name." When she returned home, she added verses and finished the song while reading God's own description of his power and might while speaking to Job in Job chapter 38. "Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? On what were its footings set? Or who laid its cornerstone while the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy? Who shut up the sea behind doors when it burst forth from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment and wrapped them in thick darkness? When I fixed the limits for it and set its doors and bars in place? When I said, 'This far you may come and no farther. Here is where your proud waves halt.' Have you entered the storehouses of the snow or seen the storehouses of the hail, which I reserve for times of trouble, for days of war and battle? What is the way to the place where the lightning is dispersed, or the place where the east winds are scattered over the earth?" What brought the song "Indescribable" into churches all across the U.S. and the world was when Chris Tomlin recorded it for his 2004 release called Arriving, produced by Ed Cash, who happened to be a longtime friend of Laura Story's from her earlier Young Life circles. When Cash suggested that Tomlin use "Indescribable" as his first single, she was shocked. "I remember saying, 'That song will never work for corporate worship. There's no way congregations are going to sing that.' But it's humbling and amazing to see what the Lord has done. When I was looking for it, I couldn't find it. When I just started worshiping, he blew me out of the water." From the highest of heights to the depths of the sea, creation's revealing your majesty. From the colors of fall to the fragrance of spring, every creature unique in the song that it sings, but all exclaiming, "Indescribable, uncontainable. You place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. All powerful, untamable, awestruck we fall to our knees as we humbly proclaim, you are amazing, God."
has told every lightning bolt where it should go, or seen heavenly storehouses laden with snow. Who imagined the sun and gave source to its light, yet conceals it to bring us the coolness of night. None can fathom, indescribable, uncontainable. You place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. All powerful, untamable, awesome, please fall to our knees as we humbly proclaim. You are amazing, God.
Let's sing this chorus one more time. Indescribable, uncontainable, you place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. Incomparable, incomparable, unchangeable, you see the depths of my heart and you love me the same. You are amazing. You are amazing, God.
The following interview is taken from SongFacts interview with Chris Tomlin. And his experience writing the song, How Great Is Our God. Gary just referred to Chris Tomlin, who took Laura Story's writings and put them on a CD, and it became a really big hit, also in the very much used in the churches. So in our, this is from songfacts.com. So I didn't write this, they wrote it, but I want to read it to you. In our interview with Chris Tomlin, he told us about writing this song. Said Tomlin, I wrote that song when I was living in Austin, Texas. I remember sitting on my sofa in a little apartment. Psalm 104 was the psalm I was looking at. It said, You, our Lord, are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty and wrap yourself with light as with a garment. Through those opening verses and just describing a little bit of God, the glory of majesty, that little chorus came out. I started singing the chorus. I thought the chorus was just a simple thing, and it was. I had no idea it would become such a song in the church and a song that finds its way in so many different cultures, different languages. It's so transferable, so accessible. I had no idea that it would ever become that. I remember I had the song. I thought it was finished. I didn't have a bridge to the song, and I met Ed Cash, who produced that record it was on. It was the first time meeting him and talking to him about maybe producing my new record. And I remember he picked up his guitar and he says, This, How Great Is Our God song. I think it's pretty good, but it's not finished. And I'm like, What are you talking about? Who do you think you are? And I remember him grabbing his guitar. I believe it was something about, What if you do something like this? And he started singing, You're the name above all names. You are worthy of our praise. And it's really good. And I learned when you open up and let somebody else sneak in, it just makes it better. One of Tomlin's most popular songs, this won the awards for Song of the Year and Worship Song of the Year at the Dove Awards in 2006. The song has appeared on numerous compilation albums and was the title track to a live album recorded at the Passion Conference in 2005. And what Chris did is he sent this song to people in different countries, in Japan, in Europe, in Russia, in Mexico, all around the world. And he said, you take the song and you sing it as you want to sing it. And they sang it in their different languages. How great is our God? How great is our God? And it's just wonderful. And then they put it together at the Passion Conference in 2005. And I was thinking about this. You just let somebody sneak in and it makes it a little better. How like the church this song is. When you open up and let somebody else sneak in, it just makes it better. When you think you've done all you can and that's it, through God's providence, someone else sneaks in and makes it better, and then someone else, and then someone else, and on and on and on. Sometimes you say to God, well, what are you talking about? Who do you think you are? And God says, it's not finished yet. And it takes it, and he takes it to another level. I hope we can learn this in our church's transition period that we're going through, that as we have people come in, we let them sneak in and become a part of us. And it may not be just like we are now, but they bring another bridge to it, something else, that a new added dimension, and we return to growth again. I look for that day for our church. How great is our God? He's in a category all by himself.
The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, let all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God! And all will see how great, how great is our God. Age to age he stands, oh, and time is in his hand, beginning at the end, beginning at the end. The Godhead three in one, oh, Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God! And all will see how great is our God. How great is our God. God, sing with me, how great is our God, and all will see how great is our God. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art.
The next hymn we're going to sing this morning is Come Thou Fount, Come Thou King, which is a contemporary reworking of the hymn Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, which is my favorite hymn. It was written by a 22-year-old pastor named Robert Robinson in 1757. Robinson was an English dissenter, which meant he was one of those folks who decided he needed to separate himself from the Church of England. And he became an influential pastor who made a lifelong study of the history of Christian baptism. This passion and this fascination around the meaning and significance of baptism is clearly influenced in the choice of images that he uses in this hymn. The hymn is actually based on 1 Samuel 7:12, in which we see the prophet Samuel erecting a monument to commemorate God's intervention on Israel's behalf to subdue the attacking Philistines. And if you know the original version well, the second stanza that we're going to sing this morning may seem a little unfamiliar to you, because in the original, it includes the line, "Here I raise my Ebenezer," which leaves us scratching our heads. This is the name that Samuel gave to the monument, meaning, "Thus far the Lord has helped us. Thus far the Lord has helped us." And I love this song because I always think of my friend Dave Goodall, who was this enormous barrel-shaped man who gave his life to serving homeless people as a way of responding to God's grace in his life in overcoming addiction. And whenever he would sing it for as a special piece of music in the first church I served in, he would sing this line, and it always grabbed my heart the way he would sing it, and it holds my heart this even now. He would sing, "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above." Maybe you also, like me, need to sing this confession one more time today and just sing it with all your heart.
Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. I was lost in utter darkness, till you came and rescued me. I was bound by all my sin when your love came and set me free. Now my soul can sing a new song. Now my heart has found a home. Now your grace is always with me, and I'll never be alone. Come thou precious Prince of Peace, hear your bride, to you we sing. Come thou fount of our blessing, come thou fount, come thou King, come thou precious Prince of Peace, hear your bride, to you we sing. Come thou fount. To grace, how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, take and seal it for thy voice above. Come thou fount, come thou King, come thou precious Prince of Peace, hear your bride, to you we sing. Come thou fount of our blessing. King, come thou precious Prince of Peace, hear your bride, to you we sing, come thou fount of our blessing.
The next hymn we're going to look at is a contemporary hymn called How Deep the Father's Love, written by Stuart Townend in 1995. Stuart had been writing contemporary Christian songs for some time, but this was his first attempt at writing a hymn. He describes the song's creation this way. The melody just kind of popped out of my head one day. I wasn't listening to anything in particular. It was a very easy melody. It just came really easily and spontaneously. I was aware that it was quite hymn-like in a way, and I wondered what words might fit with it. First of all, because it came so easily, I thought, is this somebody else's melody that I've accidentally borrowed? Because quite often when you're listening to lots of music, you kind of unconsciously sometimes absorb some of that, and then it might pop out again at a later point, and I thought, man, maybe this belongs to someone else. I went back and listened to all the music that I had been listening to over the past few months to see whether I had nicked it, and I played it for some other people, but it seemed like it was an original thing. So I started thinking about words for it, and because it had kind of a classic hymn-like element to it, I thought, maybe I should just tell the story of Christ on the cross, but maybe tell it from the perspective of what it cost the Father to give his Son. You know, we often think about Christ's suffering and the wrath of God that was poured out upon Christ, and I think it's right to say that. But actually, it cost him to give up his Son. That's why the first line is, how deep the Father's love for us, you know, that he should give his only Son. So that was the starting place, and then the second verse develops my complicity in it, if you like, that actually it was my sin that held him there. He went to the cross because of what I had done. So tells the story from a personal viewpoint. And then the final verse goes into, I won't boast in anything except what he has done for me. So really, that was the thinking of the words. Melodically, it came quite spontaneously. As usual, I find with the words, it takes a bit of crafting. It takes a bit of work, rewrites and stuff like that. So probably it took a few days to come together. But it settled in a good way in that it had a personal perspective, but it was pointing toward Christ. It's been interesting to see the response that actually it's quite useful, not only in the more modern contemporary churches, but in the more traditional churches as well because of the style. I'm excited that you can write something that actually feeds the broader church rather than just particular musical pockets of the church. And that's why I've thought more and more about writing hymns. This is How Deep the Father's Love for Us by Stuart Townend.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns his hands away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many souls to glory. Sin upon his shoulders, ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was a His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer. I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart.
There Is a Redeemer was written by Melanie Steiner Green in 1977. Melody grew up in the Jewish faith of her parents and grandparents. Despite her respect for their influence upon her life, in her teens and early 20s, Melody tried Buddhism and experimenting with drugs as she searched for fulfillment and something that could be termed genuine. She met Keith Green in Hollywood, California, while working as a clothing designer in 1972. They drifted together as hippies seeking answers before finally coming to Christ in 1975 during a Bible study. After their conversion, Melody and Keith started Last Days Ministries, an outreach to the drug culture, to unwed teenage mothers, and to their neighborhoods. It was in the midst of this in 1977 that Melody pinned the words to the first two verses of the song, There Is a Redeemer. Her husband, a musician, wrote the third verse. The lyrics and tune sound like an old hymn, but it was written during the first 7 or 8 years of the counterculture Jesus movement, which began in the late 60s in Southern California. This is when hippies who became Christians were called Jesus people or Jesus freaks by the hippies who were not converted. The message of the song is very simple. It's a song of thanksgiving. Jesus is God's gift to the world. And he also left the Spirit to continue what the Son started until the work on earth is done. And then there's the promise. One day we will see our Savior face to face and serve him through our praise forever and ever. Thank you, O my Father, for all you've done. Keith went on to become a well-known Christian musical artist, doing concerts all over the nation. Unfortunately, he was tragically killed in a plane crash along with two of his children in 1982 at the age of 28. His wife, Melody, continues to carry on Last Days Ministry, which is located in East Texas. And how providential that Keith wrote, almost foretelling what would happen when he wrote the third verse, when I stand in glory, I will see him face to face. There I'll serve my King forever in that holy place. Join with me, please.
There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy One. Thank you, O my Father, for giving us your Son, and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done. Jesus, my Redeemer, name above all names, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, for sinners slain. Thank you, my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the world on earth is
The last two hymns that we've sung together have the words ransom and redeemed in them. And they speak to the ministry of Christ. Before he went to the cross, Jesus emphasized this ministry when he said in Mark chapter 10, verse 45, "For even the Son of Man," the term that he would often use to refer to himself, "for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." And Jesus himself was working from a backstory. And his backstory, of course, is the whole of the Old Testament, what we call the Old Testament. All of the script, all of the writings of the law and the prophets. And when Jesus spoke those words about coming not to serve, but to not to be served, but to serve, to give his life as a ransom for many, he was certainly speaking out of the voice of the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 43, chapter 1, that says, "But now this is what the Lord says, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name, and you are mine." Through the ministry of Jesus Christ, God claims us again. He claimed us in our creation, and He claims us again through the love of His Son. This claiming, this buying back, this naming, this redeeming, this is all, these are enormous ideas that are intended to be summed up in a few words in a hymn and in something as small as a piece of bread and a cup of juice. Whenever we come to this table, we come because Jesus has called us to it. We come where in which Jesus is the host saying, "I didn't come to be served. I came to serve you. I came to give myself." And so we remember the words that Jesus said on the first night that he shared this meal with his friends, and every time someone like me gets to invite someone like you and say, "Come, we all get to come to this table. We get to come to the table of the one who didn't come to be served, but to serve. The one who came to be a ransom, to buy us out of sin, to buy us out of death, to buy us out of our own failure, to buy us out of our brokenness, and to bring us into life, into hope, into wholeness. The one who gives and calls us now to receive." It was on that night, the night that Jesus was betrayed, that he gathered with his friends and he said at the beginning of the meal, "This is my body, which is given for you." And likewise, at the end of the meal, he took the cup and poured it out, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant, which is in my blood." And for as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he returns. As the servers come forward, I invite you now to pray with me. To you, Lord Jesus, the one who came not to serve, not to be served, but to serve, we come now in humility and gratitude. We come with our hands open, our hearts open, to receive not an idea, not a concept, not a program, not a formula, but to receive you. You, Word of Life. You, Bread of Life. You who bring life into us. You who have bought us out of darkness and death. Holy Spirit, come. Complete the work in us that began at the cross and will be completed when we see you face to face. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, it's our custom that as the servers come, they will offer you the bread, and you are invited to take and eat the bread when you receive it. Then the cup will be served, and we ask that you would hold the cup that we may share in that together at the end. This table is open to anyone. If you have but a little faith in Jesus and long for more of it, then this table is for you. Come now and receive the gift of God. Take and drink, friends.
Oh, my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit to the work on earth is done. Would you stand with me? When I stand in glory, I will see.
Now, friends, hear the benediction. Through your grace and redemption, O God, we have all been led from death to life. From our graves of selfishness and pride, we have been revived to live lives of grace and generosity. From our catacombs of indifference and apathy, we have been resuscitated to speak words of encouragement and redemption. From our tombs of self-destruction and furious consumption, we've been rejuvenated to participate in the creation and restoration of this city and this world. As we depart from this space, may our journeys continue to follow your story of reconciliation as it envelops and surrounds those you have called the least of these. May our voices, may our stories, may our song be voices of grace that echo your calls to forgive, and may they move us to your justice, mercy, and redemption. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all God's people said, Amen. Go in peace.